You're listening to a
Flawless Noises
Media Network production.
Welcome back to another episode of the Ratchet Ramblers podcast presented to you by Flawless Noises Media. I am one of your hosts. I am Jeremy. I don't have no AKAs for today. I am joined by my friends and my co-hosts.
What's up, everybody? This is Candace, AKA. Did you at least pinch the nigga? Did you at least scratch him? Did you slap him? You should have bit the nigga. What the fuck? Y'all, first of all, hey, Adrian.
Hey.
I'm about to be a menace, and I'm not no scary motherfucker. I put a name on it. So if somebody even tell you about this filthy scent, AKA Joseph Hamilton, born and raised in Shaker Heights, went to private school, was going to the Ohio State University, but you couldn't stop being a fucking loser to finish and graduate. Just to come home, you don't have no license. You barely have your part of the daycare. You a fucking abuser. You a drunk. You only got three outfits.
Get them.
Your Jordans is wrinkled in the toe.
Mm. Get them.
You borrow bus fare from your baby mama.
Mm.
Get them.
Can't keep a job.
Mm.
Get them.
Always arguing on the fucking internet, typing like you John Wick, but you nothing more than nigga Wick. You got your ass beat this weekend. And this was after you was talking all that gun talk to me, talking about my kids gonna be motherless, make sure I got a gun when I touch back down in Cleveland. Like, nigga, you know who I am. You know who my family is. You know who my God family is. This your problem, bitch. What? This your problem. You think you a gangster when you are nothing more than a suburban boy. Raised in a fucking church. Your daddy was a preacher, nigga. You went to private school. This sounded like 8 Mile. And Clarence got a real good parents. Okay.
Do he?
He don't. Because your mama for sure a fool. It might have been April Fool's Saturday, but that bitch been a fool because she raised you.
Mm.
You got your ass whooped. And your daughter is closer to being fatherless than my kids are to being motherless because you can't fucking fight. Where was that gun when them niggas was beating your ass last night? Both your eyes is swole, Martin. Oh, Marty Marr. Tommy Hearns and them whipped your ass. I think I'm going to use your lumped up face as a show cover this week. That's how fucking petty and vengeful I am. Because once we enemies forever, especially when you get to talk and stick talk and you not about that life. You're not about that life. You can't afford bus fare. I know you can't afford a gun, even a dirty one. You on food stamps, nigga. You on food stamps. So don't talk to me about gun talk. If you could afford a gun, you should be able to afford to get your license cleared.
Mm.
If you can afford a gun, you should have some health care. You should take your ass to urgent care and make sure you don't lose sight out one or both them motherfucking eyes. My goddaughter should have came over there and got her lick in too, because your ass is easily beatable. Go to hell. And you got exactly what you deserve. May you continue to suffer. That's what I want to say. It's my birthday week. So we here.
Yeah.
Okay. It's my birthday week. And if you want to send me birthday money, you can on Cash App at Candice Marie 84. CANDICEMARIE 84. Because I deserve it. The sixth is coming. Okay. Thursday is your girl's birthday. I'm taking some time off from work. I'm going to get my hair done, my nails done, get a facial, get pampered. It's your girl's birthday week. So feel free to contribute or just continue to stream us. That's gift enough too. Because Spotify is back sponsoring us. Thank God. It's been like years when the last time we had an anchor sponsor. So we back.
Anchor done finally put something on the building for them again.
Finally, okay. Have y'all heard that Married to Medicine is filming, but so far Quad has not been filming?
I have seen that on social media, and honestly, I'm not surprised.
I'm not shocked. And let me say this. I am somebody who I like Quad more often than not. But for the last several seasons, Quad has barely been friends with these ladies, right? They have been arguing like cats and dogs. And so I don't really see a reason for her to be a part of a show where she really don't mess with them like that. Like at one point, Quad was really close with that group of ladies, but a lot of them were so nasty to her and her divorce from Dr. G that it she really severed the relationship and was showing up for a check. And there's it's rumored this season that Dr. Greg and his fiance will be back on the show. Phaedra will
which
be on the
to
show.
That,
although,
which to that?
I have a problem with them bringing somebody back to the show who their ex-wife called them out as being abusive.
Yeah,
I have a problem with that. That's very problematic.
I have a problem with it, although unfortunately, I mean, it's you know, it's Bravo here. The fact that Phaedra is back on some of these screens for some of these shows, I mean, Andy don't give a fuck. But on top of like setting that aside, right? Not even gonna hold you. I don't want to see Greg back on my goddamn TV. He wasn't interested,
especially not with nobody that looked like not with his fiance who looked like Toya if she was missing a chromosome.
Toya's
that lady
own.
Ugly. That she, lady ugly.
She missing a Toya's own. But
she looked like Toya's bitch Stewie.
We could tell it's your birthday week because what the fuck is wrong with you?
Okay. Okay, but I didn't lie because but that's just see. Like Drake. Drake is Tyler Lepley's bitch Stewie.
Bitch Tilda. But I just said in the obvious issues with like bringing back someone who was an abuser, cause ex, etc. Like Greg didn't bring nothing like you know as a husband when he was on the show. And that was years ago. So I damn sure don't like want to see him back. But again, this is Andy. I mean, we can't expect nothing less. It's just nasty work. Nasty work.
It is. And also the season 15 trailer for Real Housewives of Atlanta dropped. There was a synopsis on the storylines.
We all knew Drew was gonna be talking about the divorce.
Yeah, but so it's the something really stood out to me. And there is a part of the trailer where Martell is on the episode and asking Sheree if she's good. And she's like, yeah, I'm good. I'm ready for whatever, including OnlyFans. And Martell was like, what are you talking about? What you mean OnlyFans? And Sheree talking about, you know, sex sales. First of all, the fact that you are 50 plus years old trying to start up an OnlyFans career is fucking incredible and pathetic all at once. Because while you are absolutely a beautiful woman with a bomb ass body, I know you be in there moaning like a fucking plumber. I just know them sex sounds is nasty and not the good nasty, the nasty nasty.
Hold on.
She be in there moaning like, yes, Jules. I'm talking about what the fuck is going on here? That man got kids, baby. You and I'm gonna start talking like how men talk about women with OnlyFans. What's your kid? What his kids gonna say in 10 years when they realize they daddy was slinging dick on OnlyFans to an AARP member?
Hold up.
With Martell as they daddy, AARP, that's gonna be the least of their concerns.
Hold up. Because I ain't seen the trailer. I didn't even know they put the damn trailer out. You mean to tell me Sheree went by Sheen by Sheree to Sheen by Squirt?
She didn't went from Sheen by Sheree to, Squirt by Sheree. She is, first of all, it's the desperation. It's the fact that it's the L's. You keep taking these L's because you told us Sheen by Sheree was going to make you a millionaire. And everybody was gonna be jealous, only to not have. We have not seen a Petey by Sheree clothing since that season finale, and you are on this season 15 talking about some fucking OnlyFans. You are a grandma.
I'm sorry. I'm a cackling since Candace said that because, bitch, what? Sheree, what are you talking about?
OnlyFans, but geriatric.
I feel horrible because I want to see it. Because Martell is toxic, and you know toxic niggas be having some of the best dick. So I want to see it.
Mel already told us that's not true. Mel already told us the dick not, you know, the dick.
So
don't
then
be
you just stayed
like
with him 11 years getting cheated on, and he wasn't breaking your back. Oh man, we got some stuff to talk about.
She admitted to that. She admitted to that. She said Martell didn't make her want to fuck him.
I'm sorry. I know I've been laughing this whole time. But fucking Only Joggers is fucking killing me.
Only Joggers. Text that. That's the show title. Only fucking Joggers. Only spring, summer. Only summer, fall.
Yo, imagine if she have these for the sex scene.
Like, and don't get me wrong, I'm good. I love sex workers, but just this 50 plus year old woman being such a flop at everything she does to the point where she wants to do OnlyFans with Martell Hope, of all people.
Oh God, bro, that done made my day. That was fucking funny.
Only Joggers. And the season storylines, minus Drew. I'm kind of looking forward to it because Marlo and Candy look like they're into it heavy, real heavy, to the point where Candy talking about choking Marlo and shit. Speaking of, we didn't talk about this last week, but okay, Tamar.
What the hell did Tamar do? Oh, what she said about the...
About Candy and so first of all, let's be honest. If what Candy said is true, Carlos King is a snake. First of all, Carlos King had Candy's information. If Carlos King wanted to do a biopic of Escape, he should have reached out to Candy and the rest of the girls of Escape. Going behind Candy's back and getting in contact with Candy's mother and lying about why you're contacting her to gather information for a biopic that you didn't speak to Candy about, that's pretty fucked up, and we could call it what it is. Is it illegal? No, but it's fucked up considering you had worked with Candy on Real Housewives of Atlanta.
Not only that, you are, we get on Phaedra and right for the soap involvement, but you literally were the source and cause of that nasty false rumor about assault.
Yeah, which is why you were let go from Bravo and the Real Housewives franchise.
So honestly, the fact that you even had the audacity to do anything regarding Candy, to be perfectly damn honest,
and very gutsy. And Tamar, if there's any truth to Todd getting in your face and saying, you know how I'm coming behind my wife, I mean, I don't know what you want nobody to say about that, because that's what every man should do about their wife. I don't believe Todd threatened you. I believe Todd maybe got in your personal space and was like, yo, you doing a lot. But I don't think Todd was threatening. Todd won't even be threatening with Mama Joyce, and she hate his guts.
Right.
So I don't believe Todd threatened you or made any threats to you. I do believe Todd got between you and Candy and told you that you should chill out and removed his wife from the situation.
And you try to play stupid about why she was upset, and he said, you know what it is. Like, come on. And I don't past any man, but that doesn't match up with Todd in anything that we have seen. And I know it's possibly different, but nah, I don't believe
it. Why hasn't anybody else who was there? Y'all said it was one thing that all parties have said is that there were a lot of people around when it was happening. Why has nobody corroborated that Todd threatened you? Then you jumped the shark and said, I really hope he not beating Candy's ass off the cameras. Come on now. For somebody that's been in a bunch of abusive, toxic relationships, you really lack self-awareness. And that's why you can't find no success right now. You got a lot of shit to say about Candy, but shit, Candy's little IG lives and YouTube lives, they get more streams than your music.
What you finna say?
Oh, no, I don't. I just don't believe Tamar. She has a knack for doing a lot of stuff, and then when it comes to her doorstep, now she crying and throwing up. And I think it was sick for her to even say make any abuse allegations, because then if Candy came back about the stuff that your mom said about Vince, now you somewhere shaking, crying, throwing up, being wrapped in your victimhood. And how can somebody come for a victim of domestic violence and then you're gonna get on your high horse? I don't like people like that. If you're gonna get down in the mud and be a mudslinger, let's be
pigs. Now, Adrian, you be so classy with your drag. I love it.
Because it don't be and a then, lot, but I don't
snipe. But with that said, we're gonna jump into Escape, SWB and Escape R&B divas and
Escape.
So I'm glad that SWV did not budge on this headlining. I don't mean any harm. And as we said last week, yeah, it's great that you got you and Tiny have a social media following due to being on reality TV, but that doesn't really mean people are coming to see y'all just because of that. Because truly, they can just see you on TV. They don't have to spend money to come see you perform, especially when what y'all do on reality TV typically has nothing to do with y'all as performers. Let's say that Candy on Real Housewives of Atlanta, it's never been centered around her being a member of Escape.
Which, can I say, since we're here, looking back on it, that's honestly like a missed opportunity. Like, don't get me wrong, like, we here for the mess, but like, you can like do both. It's not an either or situation. So honestly, all these years, that's a missed opportunity on Bravo's part.
And let's, you know, let's talk about it even further. Every time something has come back around with like Escape or SWV, specifically Escape, it's always been a separate series. It's never been part of Real Housewives of Atlanta.
Yeah.
So it, to me, the music side of Candy, I don't think it's breeding her more followers from Real Housewives of Atlanta. I just don't think it is. And it's so not. There's that. And then they just don't sound good to me. I just want to be so honest. I loved Escape's music back in the day. I loved SWV back in the day, and I still love their classics. Don't get me wrong. They do have some classics. But I am so shocked that people are paying money to see folks perform, and not just them, just all of like these, you know, old school acts who can tour and do a time joiner cruise tour and shit like that. They don't really be sounding that good. They can't dance and shit, especially Escape. Like, not none of them sound good. Not Candy, not Latasha, not Tamika, not Tiny. They can't dance. They done had all this work done to their bodies. They move heavy and shit. They be on that stage looking like they got concrete tied to their fucking ankle. I don't know. It just...
But that's what happens when you as an artist, in your seniority, like, you don't take care of, like, your craft anymore. Like, I mean, shit, Candace, you... And Bri and Juanita here, y'all just saw Usher not too long ago, and my man's is still out.
Oh my God.
You know, man, what I'm saying? Like, that's what happens when...
That's a great point, Jeremy. You can tell when artists don't give up on their craft, but I also understand after they broke up, nobody had a desire to see them solo. So, but at the same time, if you ever wanted to stick your toe back in music, you were supposed to keep up with, like, well, it's probably expensive too, and they didn't have the money aside from Candy and Tiny. But vocally, they just don't sound amazing to me. I think SWV still sounds really good.
Honestly, it's kind of hilarious when you think about it, because they just had that reunion when they did the BET joint when they was honored. And that wasn't that long ago. And like, hearing them then as opposed to now, like, what the fuck happened? You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Because when they was on the, I want to say 2019-ish? 18-ish? Something like that. Not too long ago. So, and they sounded decent then. Well, some of them. But it's like, not all of y'all sound bad. So what the fuck happened?
Yep.
It's too much turmoil in the group.
It's a ton of turmoil. First of all, again, and then I guess we could talk about what went on social media this past week with Tamika and Latasha. You agreed to do something. You knew there was a rehearsal. Why wasn't you at the rehearsal? Instead, you sitting down with your husband. You sitting down with your husband recording talking about that record deal, and that gospel album ain't doing nothing. Like,
I don't understand how she thought this was gonna go. How did she think this was gonna go? Because once we started taping and we have this blow up about this money, I would have been trying to put out my gospel album then. Like, because now you look mean, nasty, and with a vile spirit. Mm-hmm. And not that doesn't fit into the church in some ways anyway, but you can't be like that out in the open and people and still expect support.
Agreed.
So I don't get her. I don't get her. I don't get her end game.
I don't even think she have an endgame, honestly.
Yeah, I don't think so. Rocky and Bullwinkle just ain't Rocky smart. And Bullwinkle.
They just leave it alone. I guess the biggest thing for me, and I said it on Twitter and I'll say it again, and I'm going to say the things that nobody wants to say. Latasha is wrong, but Tamika is getting her nastiness back in spades now. Because when they broke up, Tamika sided with Tasha knowing she was wrong. All because she's been brainwashed under the muse, that's your sister, y'all stick together, right or wrong. And I want Black families to get from under that. I don't got to stick by you if you wrong. True. She stuck by her sister when she was dead ass wrong. And when her sister went solo, she didn't even throw Tamika a crumb. Didn't offer a feature, didn't want to do a song with her, didn't want to do an album with her, didn't use her on background vocals, didn't use her as a background singer, nothing. She left her sister to fucking struggle and then stole money from her on top of it. Why would you side with somebody like that, Tamika, to the point where she accused Candy of sucking and fucking anybody, including Jermaine Dupri, daddy and Jermaine Dupri? I mean, just made up bold-faced, nasty lies that could have really had a huge impact on Candy's career. So part of me does not feel sorry for Tamika Scott. I just don't. Part of me don't feel sorry for her. Because when you do the clownery come back to bite. And you have made it okay for your sister to be wrong as two left fucking shoes and you stand by her side. And typically with behavior like that, it comes back around and it'll bite you in the ass too. Because not holding somebody accountable for their actions and behavior is not beneficial to anybody. You supposed to have been called your sister out on her bullshit. You supposed to have been checked her about that $30,000. You were supposed to get the police involved when her husband was cashing checks fraudulently with your name on them. All this letting it slide shit, and now it's been bubbled over and boiled to the top. And my question is, what you want us to do about it? Now he hacking into your phone. He got explicit videos and pictures of you threatening to blackmail you and your sister sitting right there while this fucking happening. She wouldn't be no sister of mine. And I wouldn't fuck with my mom either, because I feel like her mama knew exactly what Tasha and her husband was doing. And she probably got some of the money from those royalty checks.
Yes. Yes. And even if she didn't, once she knew about it, daughter's feet to the fire, you on for where you know what they was going through. Bitch, I'll set all this on fire. I don't care what they were going through to steal $30,000. Nah. Mm-mm. And you did all that carrying on and lying behind your sister. And what did she do? All y'all know how Tamika can be, how she lie. So you carried a lie for her, and then she used that lie to discredit you when you telling some truth.
Yep, them same lies she used to protect you, you used to protect her. She using them against you to say you don't tell the truth. Mm. So, like I said, I do think Tasha's wrong. I think she owes you your money, but I hope you have learned a lesson about what it looked like to stick by people even when they dead ass wrong. And how it could come and bite you in the ass. Because that's what this is. That's what this is. It's biting you in the ass. Thumbs down to everybody involved. And then SWV. If that boy don't want to go to college and be a dentist, why do y'all keep trying to force him? Especially when you are paying out of pocket for him to go to school. He ain't on nobody's full scholarship. And I do agree about having a plan B. But who's to say the plan B he wants is going to be dentistry?
Or that the plan B is right for him.
Exactly.
Like I get and go ahead.
I was gonna say, and stop using the fact that when shit blew up with SWV, y'all had to go work minimum wage jobs. We have to have an honest conversation that a lot of that was because y'all were not financially and fiscally knowledgeable about y'all money and how it worked. If y'all had the right people in y'all corner helping y'all with the money part of being famous and selling 30 million records and selling out tours, all of y'all wouldn't have had to go back to work doing, you know, minimum wage jobs. Like, that's the key thing that y'all keep leaving out. Y'all were international stars and y'all ended up broke working regular jobs. It's not because the music industry is a fickle fucking place, but it's fickle to people who don't know shit. Let's say that. Back in the day, the music industry was extremely fickle and fucked up to black artists because those white ass big wigs was taking advantage of y'all financially. Your son wouldn't have to endure that because you know better in 2022 and 2023. Y'all know differently now. Y'all know the benefits of being independent. Y'all know the benefits of using social media to your benefit and things like that. I don't think he would have some of the same struggles that y'all had. People still struggle because it's hard to break into music and be successful. But y'all, I don't believe in forcing kids to go to college if that's not where they are right now. Because sadly, in this country, college is fucking expensive.
Yeah. And go ahead. You were going to say something?
No, I mean, I don't think they should be pushing him to dentistry, but he should be thinking of a backup plan. I will say that. So I understand their push for him to find something else if this music thing doesn't work out, because I feel like the industry now is even more kind of fickle than it was even back then.
Oh, absolutely. It is.
Nowadays you can just find people on social media. They're not really doing artist development, so they're not really pouring money and resources into these artists for them to succeed. It's okay, well, we got them off of Instagram. If they get a hot 2 song that can go, then we're good. And then if they don't work out, we'll just go find somebody else.
To piggyback off that, I do feel like I agree, Ken's, back in the day, like the music industry was, you know, extremely fickle. I mean, not only to your point about white execs, but hell, even black ones are looking at you, Diddy. It's fucked up. Like, we see all these documentaries today about how trash it was back then. And while I do feel like it has evolved and people, you know game, the ugly side of it has evolved also as well. And to Adrian's point, I mean, we see it now where, you know, these brands and labels, they don't pour into the artists. The artists are really, a lot of them are really stunted. They never grow. They kind of put out the same song, same vibe and stuff, and they do well. But that's more like, it's more of a machine instead of like about the artists and putting out quality products and stuff. And I feel like I get them wanting him to have a backup plan because they are cautious. Do I think they've learned, you know, a whole hell of a lot over the years? Not completely, but I do feel like they are cautious about that. But I do feel the way that they're going about it is a bit too much, to Candace's point. Like, it sound like caution, but it's like, okay, now we get it. We get it. It's fucked up, but they can still attempt it. And if anything, you can guide them. It's like, hey, we've been through this shit. Don't do this, or look out for this, because shit was fucked up when we was doing it. It's still fucked up. Hell, arguably even more so in certain aspects.
Yes.
Like, it's a way they can go about it, but how they're doing it, it just comes off. It comes off kind of bootstrappy-ish to an extent. I don't like that.
I think the way Taj spoke to him, I thought that was a good conversation. Much like Adrian said, dentistry doesn't have to be the plan B, but there should be a plan B, because breaking into the music industry is not cheap.
No.
Okay. Like, no, yes, you have a beautiful natural voice thanks to your mom and genetics, but you need a vocal coach.
Mm-hmm.
You do need some artist development. As evidence by you. You need a hit song. You need studio time. You know, mm-hmm. You need those things, and people are not going to give them to you because your mom is Coco. That's not to say if you was Blue Ivy, it's not a soul around who wouldn't be dying to work with you. Yeah. But Coco hasn't really sustained herself in the music industry. So she might have connections, but not enough where you're not going to have to pay for some of what you want to get into the music industry. Just is what it is. But good luck. May your passion guide you, but have a plan B.
Yeah, and if that passion doesn't work out, you do have a plan B, but you should also be encouraged and supported to follow your passion.
Yes.
Speaking of passion.
Lack thereof.
Segue, John.
I know Basketball Wives is not Adrian's favorite show out of all of our shows, but as we near the, like, I would say this is going towards the end of the total season, because they took like a break and came back, so they're lumping all this in as one season. So we got to be nearing the end of the season, and finally the real Jackie Christie has showed up. And that Jackie rings. Christie is, yes, all of her neck pussy. She is mean, she is vile, she is self-centered, She is arrogant. She is narcissistic. She is not a good fucking person. And that is why I don't understand these women who might be younger than Jackie, but old enough to know better, are sitting up letting this bitch try to be the mama bear of that fucking group. Jackie Christie don't have a good relationship with her own fucking kids. Why do y'all want this bitch to be the mama bear of the group so bad? And she only wants to do it because she don't have a good relationship with her own fucking kids. I still follow her oldest daughter on fucking Instagram. Jackie don't bit more to be seeing her grandkids than the man in the fucking moon, but she on our TV bringing gifts and playing Barbies with somebody else's child. Bitch, please.
Nasty word.
I don't like Jennifer Williams, but how nasty Jackie has been to that lady is unfucking called for. And when called out on it, you dig your heels in it and you double, triple down on it.
And I said it last week and I'll say it again. I feel like the reason I don't like it is because it just feels forced. Like, don't get me wrong, I agree with you, Candace. Like, Jackie has always been this evil, you know, wicked witch of the West. You know, her evil is as expansive as her neck rings, right? I feel like they like the Infinity Stones of Jackie Christie. The bitchy stones, if you will, right?
Yeah.
So, like, she's always been like that. But, and maybe it's a lack of, you know, older faces or staples, you know, like a Evelyn, you know, like a Shawnee, et cetera. But I feel like even this Jackie Christie is kind of like hamming it up a little bit. You know what I'm saying?
Trying to be the Shawnee of the group. The problem with that, though, is Shawnee never tried to mother these women.
Right.
She now,
Shawnee was nasty in her own right. But
yeah, but she never tried to mama bear these women. And that's what Jackie is doing. And that's why I don't respect it. Don't try to mama bear somebody else's kids and you not a mama bear to your own fucking kids. Be fucking for real here.
Deadbeat, man.
Be fucking serious here. Also, I'm going to come back because I want to discuss this whole, because then I think Jen is a bozo as well, because somebody booked you a hotel room. You're not spending a dime and you pissed off because it's not a, who the fuck is you? First of all, if you are that upset about the room, pay for your own upgrade. That's my first thing. Jackie was being petty. She was being very petty, but she paying the cost to be the boss on this trip. It is what it is.
Don't we have like one of these situations on damn near every one of these shows when it comes to a trip in a hotel in a room or something?
Yes.
I feel like every time it's on, just name the show, it don't matter which one, we always have an argument about a room, who booked what, who paying for what, etc. And while I get it, at the same time, y'all can't write nothing better than this. We've seen this for 92 moons now.
And I'm just, if I'm the big boss bitch, big pussy queen like Jennifer feel like she is, just pay for your own upgrade to a suite and shut the fuck up. Because you and Jackie, huh?
Did somebody do that on one of these shows? Speaking of that, like how's always, when it Married to Medicine, well, I think I think it was one that Heavenly sponsored or hosted or whatever, and they had an issue, and I think it was Toya. Toya was like, well, shit, let me just get my own damn room. I could be misremembering, but somebody did that on one of these shows.
That should be the standard. If you don't like your room on a group trip, pay to upgrade it. If you got the money and shut up. Otherwise, take the free room. You're not going to spend that much time in that fucking room. You basically going to be sleeping in there.
Damn sure I ain't going to be filming in the room.
Give it a fucking break. Speaking of give it a fucking break, Brandy, give it a fucking break. Give it a break. You are the problem between you and Duffy. And I've encountered people like Brandy before, people who want you to be so mindful, so respectful, so, you know, remember, understand what their triggers are and things that trigger them and trigger their anger and this, that, and the third, but they don't adhere to other people's triggers and things that upset them.
So you met a Twitter user is what you're saying.
Truly, because... Right? That girl has been mad for 40 days and 40 nights at Duffy about how Duffy make facial expressions and how this, that, and the third. Meanwhile, every time you feel the need, you up in this girl's face, you point your finger in her face, you talking with your hands, you calling her names and shit like that. But you think she should respect things that trigger you and bother you? Man, bitch, suck Magic Johnson dick with all that.
because I'm not doing that. Respect is mutual. It's very mutual. And Brandy doesn't give Duffy mutual respect. And I need Duffy to stop taking the bait. And you're right. And I agree. And British, she was being fucking messy by telling Brandy what Duffy said. First things first, if you ever did something for me, if you're not doing it out the kindness of your heart, don't do it. Because I don't owe you no loyalty because you did something kind for me.
Especially if you're being a bozo.
Especially if you being a bozo. This is all because you are very mad that Duffy won't shun Malaysia because you are trying to be the head, one, the next HBIC under Jackie when it comes to this Malaysia thing. You have been going hard all fucking season with Malaysia, and you feel like everybody else should shun her and mistreat her as well. And she pissy, ain't
nothing no more.
Hello? Then Duffy sends Malaysia a product or something like that. Malaysia uses it and posts it and tag it, and you mad because Duffy reposted it? That is how being a business owner works. If you have a product and somebody uses your product and said and gives a good review when they use your product and tag you and say, I use DJ Duffy's ABCDEFG and look how amazing it works, look how amazing it looks or fits or whatever, she's supposed to repost it. Just, I don't know. I think Adrian said it a week or two ago. I just feel like this is all of Brandy's lashing out because she don't have a good relationship with Jason. And she's taking it out on anybody who she can.
And it's very convenient to use for a storyline.
Yes.
Yep.
Also, Brooke, we know you was getting back with that nigga. Why did you needed a storyline. I get it. It made for a good storyline. But we all knew, girls on the show knew you was not getting divorced. My husband took me on a date and we've been getting along and blah, blah, blah. Okay, Miss Mamas, that's cool. Next storyline. I think the best storyline so far in the second half of the season has been the stuff going on with Rockstar's girlfriend. I keep forgetting her name. But the postpartum conversations and bringing in professionals and doulas and moms and having these conversations about what postpartum depression looks like, how it can manifest, how it can make you feel, how it can make you behave. I think that has probably been one of the best things that they have discussed on this season.
Yeah, it's been damn near one of the only things they've discussed, or at least only thing of substance.
I think it is truly important, and I'm glad to be seeing it. And I'm going to lay off old British scammer because she has been really, really diligent about facilitating things to help Rockstar's fiance get through postpartum and get help and feel comfortable leaning on professionals and, you know, things like that. So kudos to British for that. That's very important. And still wishing that young lady, I can't remember her name, to save my fucking life, boy, but wishing you continued healing and rest and things that you need so that you can start to feel better and get beyond postpartum depression. I feel like y'all got anything else for Basketball Wives?
Not a thing.
Okay. Well, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to introduce y'all to Seeking Brother Husband on, is it on Lifetime or TLC?
TLC.
TLC. Seeking Brother Husband on TLC. So y'all stay tuned and we'll be right back after the break. Welcome back. We hope y'all enjoyed a message from our sponsors. If you are looking to start a podcast, I would say one of the easiest ways to do it is Anchor by Spotify. It makes sure that your show is distributed to all the major platforms, i.e. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and a few others. You can record from your phone, your tablet, your computer, your PC if you want to. You can edit right within the app. They have paid sponsorships and things like that. So, you know, shout out to Anchor by Spotify. But speaking Brother Husband, whoa, me and Adrian watched it together. I think Adrian, you're going to be my Seeking Brother Husband buddy, because I more than likely won't watch it on Sundays when it airs at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on TLC. I typically will, because that's late and I'm usually in the bed. So I'm going to usually watch it the Monday next. I'm the next day. I'm going to watch it on Monday.
And so let's, y'all ready to get into some of these couples?
I have yes. a cast pulled up.
Okay, well, bring us in, Jeremy.
Let's start. I think a good place we can start. God damn it, Google.
Shit.
I tab over and scroll down, and Google is just like, nope, I'm just going to go blank for a minute. Bitch, I just put on the tab.
Well, okay, I'll bring us in with Kenya, Carl, and Tiger. This is an all-black thruple, and Kenya and Carl have been married for 26 years, and they have 3 adult children. Tiger is her second husband, and she shares a bed with Tiger. Carl has his own room, and after 10 years, Kenya wants to add somebody to the mix. Carl is totally fine with it. Tiger is starting to have a breakdown about it. And I think on Twitter, when we live tweeted this or tweeted it together, Adrian and I said the same thing. These couples don't give us long-term poly couples because Tiger should know the rules. Like, somebody who is jealous and insecurity cannot be a part of polyamory.
This... I have in my notes, and this is my opinion, a lot of these couples give, we saw polyamory on Twitter and wanted to give it a try, but we don't really know the intricacies of it. That's how it came off to me.
I think in Carl, Tiger, Kenya situation, I think Carl does get what it means, and that's why he's fine and he's cool, because I don't know personally if I could be the long-term spouse of someone and then they're like no longer sleeping with me. They sleep with someone else every single night. But I will also say this show is forcing me to like re-examine like how I think of relationships and everything. So I will say that also. So if I say something problematic, I'm sorry, but this is a learning experience.
It's forcing me to take a look at my proximity to patriarchy, because I'll be honest, I don't know if I would have blinked twice if these were thruples that consisted of one man and two women. In my mind, I'm trying to figure out, just because of patriarchy and how we've been socialized, to understand what would make a man want to share his wife with another man and be in the same house and know that woman, your wife, is, you know, being intimate and ending her starting her day and ending her night with this other man. And I have to unpack the fact that if that is, it works for them, because Carl does not seem to give a single solitary fuck about her sleeping with Carl, sharing a room with Carl, or introducing another person to the situation. It's primarily Tiger who's losing his shit, and he want to have a wedding and all kind of shit. And Tiger's parents do not agree with this lifestyle also. That bears noting.
But it makes me wonder, like, was this the understanding, like, coming in? Because I can't knock somebody for being uncomfortable with dynamics, like signing up for one dynamic. So as Tiger, I sign up to be the brother husband to Carl, kind of thinking it's just me. So it kind of makes me wonder, like, was it always clear from the beginning that she may bring additional people in? Or was it, I have this husband, but I like you and I want you to come in with us?
Well, we both asked the question, are the men allowed to have partnership outside their wives? And one of our listeners, shout out to them, it's so buried so deep in my mentions that I can't get to it. But she stated that Kenya, Carl, and Tiger did an interview somewhere, and they are allowed to have partnership outside of Kenya. So this could potentially explain why Carl is okay with it, because maybe he has a partner outside of Kenya. But it doesn't seem like Tiger has partnership outside of Kenya, and maybe that's why he has so many insecurities about adding another male to their dynamic. So those, like, I look forward to seeing if we learn more about that this season.
Because it feels like Carl is still very much in love with Kenya, but for whatever reason, his, like, it seems like his sex drive doesn't match hers. And that's why he was kind of okay with bringing Tiger in to fulfill that component for her. And so Tiger being brought in to be, I'm her sexual partner. I think that might be what's causing like the brush up. Cause I don't think there's any, I don't want to say competition, but I don't feel like there's any competition in the sexual arena with him and Carl, which is why Tiger has been fine with this arrangement.
Right.
But now that she wants to bring in additional partners, I think he kind of sees himself being kind of put out to pasture in a way.
Yeah. But also, to me, you have to be honest about your expectations. And this is why, in my opinion, a lot of people think the idea of a poly relationship sounds good until they're actually in it. And it takes a lot of unpacking and unlearning to successfully do polyamory. The first thing being understanding that no two relationships are the same. What Carl gives to Kenya, Tiger doesn't. What Tiger gives to Kenya, Carl doesn't. What the next woman gives to Carl, Kenya doesn't, and vice versa. It's not necessarily a race or hanging you out to pasture, but different people can fulfill different needs in your life is what it sounds like in these situations. And so I feel like Tiger has to do some unpacking and unlearning, because it's still kind of given the church is reigning supreme and how his family feels is reigning supreme. He's talking about having a wedding ceremony and, you know, this, that, and the third. And so I'm like, yeah, he's not totally secure in this situation, and it shows. And if he's not going to ever be secure, if it's going to be a problem with her bringing in another partner, he needs to have a real conversation with Kenya, and they need to figure out where they will go from there. We have Alisa and Mike. Now, they are in Los Angeles. They don't yet have a third partner. They don't have another brother husband added yet. She's actively looking. Mike is acting like he's okay with it, but he's really not.
I think what stood out to me is, and this is who I was actually going to start to lead with before fucking Google decided to say, fuck you. I don't think he's completely over her cheating in the past.
I don't either. And I think for, and in his way of trying to kind of get over and being okay with her cheating is why he is quote unquote allowing this polyandry to happen, which makes me uneasy, because I don't, for me, and I'm not in this lifestyle, so I could be speaking out my ass right now, but I don't think any couple should enter into poly relationships and the impetus is one of them cheating.
Okay, because I'm glad you got here, because that was what was on my mind. It was like, I think it's really awful, it's really counterproductive to want to enter into a polyamorous relationship after one person gets caught cheating.
Or any relationship for that matter.
Because there are boundaries even in polyamorous relationships.
And I would say the boundaries are usually even harder than a two-person relationship. I would argue that. Like, because there has to be clear communication, like really, really clear boundaries. This would hurt. These are people that are off limits. Like, so if you can't, to me, if you can't respect the boundary of a relationship, I don't think you can
respect,
I think
it's the either, boundaries of a non-traditional, non-monogamy relationship.
Yes. Yes.
That gets you tongue-tied. Non-monogamous, non-traditional. But yes, I do agree. The boundaries are harder. The transparency is more important. It takes more, because people think polyamory is a free-for-all. You just get to be sucking and fucking when you feel like it. And that is not how that works.
And I feel like she is one of those people. Like when I made my opening statement about, you know, I feel like some of these couples, they got their idea of what they think poly is from social media. Eliza is one of the people who I was referring to, because it does seem like she is wanting this, not because it's something that she really wants/needs. It feels like this is her way of I may cheat on him again, but if we do it like this, then it's not as bad as when it was just me and him. That's what it feels like to me. It doesn't feel like, and I could be completely fucking wrong, but it doesn't.
It seemed like she wanna throw that pink pussy around and it not be considered cheat.
Yeah, it like the couple we had before, the throuple we had before, like it was like we went from so many dynamics of, you know, one providing this, one providing the other, you know, emotional, you know, support, intelligence, etc. And Eliza's just like, I just want to fuck. And then and if we do it, and if we do it this way, then it's not as bad. Right, Eliza say,
where the head niggas at? Where the poly dick at? Because I don't know. Because I don't know. It okay. How do I say this? Because it just feels so like I think I get like the basis and the foundation of being poly. But when you turn what was like a monogamous relationship into a multiple partner relationship after you've cheated, and then you're taking the extra effort to seek somebody, I don't know. It just rubs me wrong. Cause it's like, okay, you're making active efforts to find another person, which when I guess you I don't know.
When you haven't repaired the lack of trust and the issues with the person you're already with.
Exactly. Okay.
And then
it just seems weird.
It seems really weird. And also, if this is the route that you're going, maybe have a conversation about if he wants to seek additional partnership as well. And then put his needs first.
Yeah. Because Candace, you say this all the time when it comes relationships and cheating, regardless of what they are. Like, if you cheated first, so like you should not be like leading this, like currently. Like she should not be leading. Like, regardless of what you want to say about Mike, girl, when y'all was together, like regardless of the type of relationship that y'all had, you fucked up. You cheated. So like you leading this shit and then seeing like literally putting you first.
How you are clamoring for dick. You can't believe that has helped the relationship dynamic in you. And it is only going to get worse.
At all.
I'm glad we're all on the same page with this.
Like I'm telling you, I feel like Eliza is saying like, ping pussy go poom poom. That's what she's saying.
Yeah, I think she just knows like she's not going to leave. Because he had the I'm not going to leave face. Like, I'm not quite comfortable with this, but I'm not going to leave. And now, and she's kind of using that to her advantage. Because I can get you being out. Maybe you meet someone that strikes your interest. I get that. But it's the actively seeking part that continues to kind of throw me off.
I don't mind that she wants to do this, but I don't know how it will work once the trust has been broken. And it doesn't seem like they really have done the work to repair what was wrong and what led to cheating. So right, exactly. It doesn't feel like it won't ever seem like a mutual situation.
You know what it feels like?
More like he's willing to do it because the cheating hurts more than her being out in the open.
You know what you know what it feels like? It feels like neither her nor him nor them together have done a lick of therapy. They haven't They haven't done individual therapy. They haven't done couples therapy. And this is like, he is just like, it's cheaper to keep her and go along with this. He is uncomfortable. Like you can tell, like the whole episode, he was just looking like he had the boo-boo at all times.
Right. Speaking of also being uncomfortable, we are introduced to Kim, Dustin, and Vincent. And Kim and Dustin have been married for 11 years. And Vincent is their first brother husband, has a great relationship with both of them. But Vincent isn't sure that he wants to... he isn't sure that he is on board with Kim adding another brother husband to the dynamic. He only wants it to be just the three of them, and which to me I feel like it goes back up to Tiger and even Mike, in that if you are not comfortable with the boundaries of the dynamic, you need to remove yourself, even if it's painful. I don't care how much you like him or how cool you are with Dustin,
she wants to add another person to the mix. And if that's not something you are willing to do, you need to take a step back. You can't force her to want just y'all, honestly. Now, to me, one thing about these women, God bless them, because sometimes dealing with one nigga is too much. So I'm just trying to understand why they want two and three. Sometimes one nigga is one too many. They want three male partners. It just seemed like a lot of work. I don't want to be responsible emotionally for two other partners. So God bless them. But Vincent is not willing to budge at all. Like, he don't want no parts of it. And so I'm just wondering why they are prolonging the inevitable. Do y'all, like, how did y'all feel about their situation?
This again was this dynamic explained fully to Vincent? Yeah. Or was it, hey, I met this guy, I'm kind of feeling, and her husband allowed, they came up to the agreement to have to add Vincent into things. And then Vincent's kind of thinking, okay, I guess with Vincent and Tiger, it seems like they thought that they were an exception and not a rule of life that they want to follow. So my question is, did they understand that dynamic coming in? Because, and going back to Tiger, if I'm with somebody and it's the three of us for 10 years, you now throwing somebody else in, that is gonna kind of throw me off. That would throw me off. If you haven't done that within this 10 years, and not only do you want to bring somebody in, you want your own room to basically, I mean, we grown, you want your own room so you can bring back people to be intimate.
Yeah.
And see, that, I guess that's the thing. Like, I guess I'm glad we're covering this show, because then it forces us to look at all the little nuances that exist in these type of situations, because that's a good point. You have this throuple, comfortable with it as is. You want to add somebody. How do you approach that? How do you figure that out? What's the compromise there? Or is it a compromise or a sacrifice? Because it seems to me, like you said, Adrian, okay, for 10 years, we've been doing this one thing. Vincent seems comfortable. He only wants to be with Kim. Dustin is like, yes, whatever. But Kim is like, no, I want more dick.
Well, Dustin wants a friend, quite frankly. He sounded like he wanted a friend.
Yeah, like what happens when everybody wants multiple partners, but then there's you and you only want the one partner? What's the approach to that? Because that's what I'm pretty much getting from Vincent. He just wants Kim.
Yeah. And I think it was Showtime that did like a show called Polly, where it was a couple. This situation kind of close to the situation where it was a couple and they had a third partner, but then that partner wanted to bring in like another poly quad cube. I forgot what they called it.
A poly,
which would then bring maybe.
No, that's what it's called. It's a nest. They call their communities polycules, and they have nested, where all the people live together, and unnested, where nobody lives together, or co-nesting or whatever. And shout out to Shanae, because I follow her on TikTok, and she does talk a lot about polyamory, poly relationships, the hard stuff. Maybe we could get her on to discuss if she watches the show. Maybe we could get her on to see if she can, you know, shine some light on this stuff. But my expectations, I thought we was going to get a bunch of happy poly couples. And off the bat, there's a lot of shit going on between these couples.
Yeah.
And we still got one more couple. We got another black couple. And we got Megamind, Shara, nigga. Patrick, and Noble. One of them look like Megamind.
You're not wrong, but nigga.
You're not wrong at all.
She's been with Patrick for 13 years, and I guess they felt like they were drifting apart, but instead of getting divorced, they decided to stay together and open up their marriage. Keep it a keeper. Yeah.
Does it but work? Now, I really need, because I'm very invested, because I want to understand how these things work.
Ready to have a kid, and she got trying to decide who's gonna be the daddy. And see, that's the type of shit that we need to have real conversations about, Because what?
That one's gonna be interesting.
Who's gonna be the baby father?
And how do polycules work with babies and children involved? And how do you have those conversations and get away from, you know, what society defines as normal relationships and communities and things like that? Because I'm sure we're not going to see less polycules as time moves forward. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. I think it's a good thing to have conversations about non-traditional non-monogamy, because we have been socialized to believe it's monogamy or nothing. But how does this work when you have children involved?
And in a way that's serious, because one thing I do like about this show, because I mean, we've been on like Twitter for, God, feel like damn the 2 decades at this point. Like, we know that a lot of the conversations, you know, having that, saying that very loosely, they haven't been serious. It's been jokes, it's been memes, it's been what people think it is, you know, projecting, etc. So it's nice to see like this in a like serious format, you know.
Yeah, and I am happy because they tried to do this, not seeking brother husbands. It was something else, because they first started off with seeking sister wives, which was some good quality mess also, might I add. Yes. Then they tried to do this, I forgot what they called it, but they tried to do it with a woman and a man, and it was like 2 episodes and then it went off the air. So I'm glad that they kind of spun the block on this idea again. And kind of flushed it out and did whatever they needed to do to get it on TV. Because it does bring up a lot of good conversation. And because it was a lot of sideways, side eyes I had watching the show. But then I had to sit like, is that just because you're so used to monogamy being the structure of relationships that this is just odd to see or what? So I'm glad that it's out here.
Mm-hmm.
I am too. And Adrian, I'm so glad that you made the recommendation, which again, if you ever question how valuable you are as being a part of this collective, you need to know you are. Because me and Jeremy are old school niggas and we can get really comfortable in shows we've been covering. But
hence why Basketball Wives is still here.
Yeah. I still like Basketball Wives, sadly. But thanks to you, you've been getting us to push the envelope, and it's been such a great benefit. We are covering some good shows that we may have not otherwise covered, so thank you for that. I'm invested in this show. I want to see what happens.
Also, I think the title is just good and miss.
Yeah, it is.
Seeking brotherhoods, like just saying, like say that in a vacuum, and try not to like bust out cackling and laughing. Because as soon as Adrian put it in the group chat, I was hollering for a smooth 5 minutes.
Yeah. I was like, what? Say what now? Okay, let me. Then she was like, it's niggas on here.
Seeking brother who now?
She was like, it's niggas on here. It's niggas? Boy? But yeah, we are invested. And before we get out of here, Love and Marriage DC is on like they mid-season break, which is why we didn't cover it today. Love and Marriage Huntsville is back next week.
It's next week. I thought it was the week after.
April 8th.
Damn.
So it'll be coming back into the fold. Bell Collective just had a trailer, so they'll be coming back sometime soon, and it's supposed to be good and messy. Good and messy. Messy, messy, messy. What else is rounding the hatch? Married to Medicine.
When does that come back?
I'm not sure. They filming now, so I'm gonna assume it'll be coming in the summer. If I had to say, and Real Housewives of Atlanta is coming back in May, right? I feel like that's what the trailer said. It was coming in May. So
yes,
we gonna be jam packed, but fuck it, it's gonna be what it's gonna be.
Fuck it, we ball.
We ball. So before you go subscribe to the Patreon. Like, you can subscribe at the Red Noise level, and you will get Ratchet Reloaded and some other great shows. If you go at the Blue Noise level, you'll get the Wind Down, Red Light Special, and probably some other stuff. Me and Mike are talking about doing something, but not relationship related, because I feel like I'm sick of relationship podcasts. Like, it had its time, now everybody goofy. Me and Mike is probably going to do a Patreon, some Patreon content about all the shit we hate in life.
Come on, like, old nigga
the cares. Shit we hate as a couple, the things we hate, the people we hate, the places we hate, the behaviors, the act. We some fucking haters.
Come on, Year of the Hater.
Year of the Hater might be the title, Jeremy. And I know we can bring your grumpy ass on and hate away. but we not going to continue to hold y'all up. We appreciate y'all rocking with us. Y'all got anything to say before we get out of here?
No.
Bye, niggas.
I got some.
Go ahead, Jeremy.
Just as a general rule of thumb, speaking of me being grumpy, listen. I know the weather is kind of ridiculous because climate change is on some shit right now, but it's springtime. The sun is generally out. It's a beautiful day. Instead of being a head ass on the internet, you can go outside and touch some grass, you know?
Just or, get that. Or like Taylor's baby daddy, you can get your face punched into the grass. You can touch it willingly or you can touch it by force, but go touch it.
Correct. So with that said, peace, niggas.
Bye.